Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dr. Tom here, and welcome back to The Positivity Effect, episode number 56, The Heart of Animals. Hey, if this is your first time here, welcome, and thank you for tuning in. The Positivity Effect is here to be a ripple effect in your life through inspiring and heart-provoking interviews that get you to think more positively and focus on things like gratitude and empathy. My wish for you is to grow that gratitude muscle so you can pay it forward as well in your own life and help me push out that ripple effect of positivity in others. On May 1st, I'm launching a store with inspiring t-shirts and more products to be announced, so stay tuned. Today, we're joined by the host of the My Rescue Rocks podcast, Rebecca Nemethy. You can reach her at her Twitter handle, which is Reflect in Photos. Rebecca has a heart of gold and has loved animals her whole life. Through her efforts, she takes her passion of photography, coupled with her love of animals, to bring awareness to shelters so that more pets can find loving homes. On her podcast, you can listen to thought-provoking chats surrounding rescue stories, and I'm just so inspired with what Rebecca is doing because I myself, along with my fiance, have a bunch of pets ourselves. So let's get pumped up and smile for the animals in our lives and help me welcome her now to The Positivity Effect. Hey, what's up, Rebecca? Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Tom.
Absolutely. And this is a fun, a special episode for me because, guys, if you've been listening, you know, just recently, this past Sunday or a couple Sundays ago, we had on my fiance and we shared a whole backstory into how we have such a love for animals and for pets and, you know, the joys that can really be brought into your own life if you have a pet, you know, if you're struggling with something. And Rebecca, you are no stranger to the love of animals.
Now, I have loved animals all my life, from hamsters to horses. I've had animals in my life since I was a little kid.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, you know, for me, like I think of my cats, I think of my dog. They bring so much joy into my life. And so what is that, you know, for you, when you think of a pet, when you think of somebody else's pet, when you visit somebody that has a pet, what is it for you that, you know, when you think of them or you have them in your life, you know, what does that do for you? What does that bring into your life?
Well, I think animals are you can just learn so much from them.
I love that.
If you allow them into your life and if you allow them to teach you. One thing that I learned from my pets, and I have to relearn it all the time, is just to be present. My dog, she runs up to me with a toy in her mouth, wagging her tail, squeaking on it, you know, pushing it into my hand because she wants to play tug or wants to play fetch or whatever she wants to do. And it's like, oh, I saw the ball. I think it's a good time to play. And you know, especially when she approaches me when I'm in the middle of doing something, sometimes I just have to be like, you know what, you're right. It's time to play. We just have to play because what other time is there than now? So mm-hmm. I feel like they're just so they're so present and they're so happy. They know how to take joy. They know how to take every moment in life and use it to the best ability that they can. So
yeah, they because they live in the present, you know, it's for us, it's just such a great reminder when we're bogged down with whatever we're going through, or even when we're in the high moments, you know, when we're doing what really well, whether, you know, we're achieving something or, you know, if it's in our family, we got a new car, a new house, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to be brought back to that present moment.
Absolutely. And she teaches me that. I don't think I would be half as sane as I am now without animals in my life.
And, you know, for you, not only just having them and loving them, you know, it's also for you, it's about finding a way to help the ones that don't have the voices. Because, you know, like we think of our pets, it's they can't tell us when they're hurt. They can't let us know when what's going on. So there's so many animals out there that are struggling, you know, that don't have the proper voice. And that's something that's very near and dear to your heart.
Oh, absolutely. They don't have a voice. And it's funny because I've never been much of an advocate for human causes. And I know that sounds horribly cruel, but I feel like humans have a voice. I mean, even children have a voice and animals don't. And sometimes people look at me like, well, why are you helping animals when there's so many humans that need help still? I mean, everybody needs help somewhere, you know, but animals don't have a voice. You're absolutely right. And they need us to give them one. So I try to.
You know, I was thinking of this, you know, actually just now as we're talking, and it's a difficult question because I think of it myself too. And sometimes I don't know the answer is, you know, we think about also, you know, food rights, you know, for the food that we have to eat.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, how do we approach that? And like, you know, for someone that, you know, you're an advocate, like how do you think about it? Because it's a very difficult thing for all of us to get through because we have to find a way to you know, to make sure that nutrition is provided for. And there's just so many people in the world that have to be fed. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's not always done in the right way or the humane way. And it's tough. It's a very delicate balance.
Oh, absolutely. And that's actually a journey that I'm struggling with right now. Since, you know, becoming involved in rescue, I have kind of been reconsidering my lifestyle and looking at what I eat and kind of digging into things that I'm not going to talk about in this podcast because we're going to stay positive, but it's really caused me to start to rethink what I eat and where I get my food and how I live my life. Because if I say that I love animals and I'm A, eating them, and B, supporting things that aren't so great for animals, then I'm kind of a hypocrite. So I'm trying to get away from that. And I'm on the journey right now where I recently went vegetarian, and I'm on a mission. I'm quite sure to go vegan, but it's a slow process because,
right,
you know,
right.
Our culture is so, you know, laid out for us. We're very, there's so much that we're taught as children and we just grow up, you know, it's the way life is. So it's really hard to get away from certain things that we're just used to. And if we try and flip everything all at once, it doesn't really work very well. So I'm taking things one step at a time and just trying to be more aware of what's actually going on in the world.
Right. You know, and it's interesting. I asked you that, Rebecca, because it's in my own life, a struggle as well. And it's, guys, like, we're not saying, you know, listen, Rebecca here is sharing that she went vegetarian and then she's thinking about going vegan. And this is a transformation she's trying to have in her own life. And we're not saying tomorrow, guys, just stop eating meat, you know, but it's something that we should all definitely be considering. We should be thinking about, you know, maybe where the food is coming from, how the food was processed. We're also even just thinking about the amounts that we eat. Like, we always talk about gratitude on the show. And like, I know for me growing up, like, it was always like, oh, the food's there, so let me eat it. And I would always stuff and overstuff myself. And it's like, did I really have to have two of everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
or even three? Like, it's amazing how much like less food we really can eat and be
absolutely
fully sustained. Yeah. So not to get too much into the topic of food, it's just an interesting question. I wanted to ask you because it's just, you know, for you, you know, animals is something, it's near and dear to your heart. It's something that you think about on a daily basis. And, you know, I thank you for sharing that and being transparent about that. Because it's something that we should all consider and something that we should, you know, even if we're not going to make a change, at least have a thought process about it, about what, you know, when we go to buy food at the store or we go to get fast food, you know, maybe reconsider that term, fast food.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's a power. It's, you know, and also just having a pet sometimes will kind of help you rethink that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rebecca, another fun fact about you is just, you know, that your photography is kind of a big part of your life, and you're now bridging that gap, so to speak, of what you do professionally and your love for pets, and you're putting that together and you're making an impact. So I'd love for you to talk about that.
Well, thank you so much for that. I can't even take credit for what I'm doing because the idea was given to me by somebody else, actually.
That's the ripple effect.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, really, it's amazing how one kind act just one kind act can cause somebody else to go into the world and replicate that. And then you're absolutely right. It's amazing how the ripple just gets bigger and bigger. I don't think I would be sitting here talking to you right now if it weren't for the fact that someone was kind to me and gave me the idea that I should join into her group and start volunteering at rescues and help with my photography. I'm not sure how oft, or I'm not sure if you see or follow many rescues or shelters online, but if you do, you'll see that there are two kinds of things going on. One, some shelters try to market the sad way, and some try to market the happy way. And
I see a lot of the sad marketing.
Yeah, and a lot of times we don't want to see that. So what do? You might either donate money or and then turn off your computer or
change the channel.
Exactly. And then you never hear about those people again. You never hear from those particular shelters again because you just don't want to feel sad when you look at them. And then there are other people who are starting to learn that if you portray these animals in a different environment outside of a concrete run or, you know, not looking so sad, maybe out in the grass and the sunshine or even just taking a walk with a volunteer, even if that's in a driveway somewhere, that's a
you know, not showing the video in slow-mo with Sarah McLachlan playing in the background.
Absolutely. And I think I was actually just talking to someone else on a different podcast about that same thing, that Sarah McLachlan doesn't even like, according to the person I was talking to, doesn't even like that commercial. She can't watch it. So, yeah. So I learned that if we try and give shelter pets a better first impression, that they're much more likely to succeed and get adopted and make an impact. So I try to do that whenever I can.
Are you finding that more and more shelters are trying to adopt that because maybe just the adoption rates are down?
I think that they're learning little by little that the photos really make a difference. But the problem there also is that a lot of times shelters are, you know, they need money, they need help, and they don't have a lot of time on their hands. So if they don't have a volunteer that's going to dedicate themselves to doing the photography, you know, a lot of times it's just whoever can grab a photo of the dog as it comes in, and that's the photo they have. So it's really important. I mean, even a hobbyist photographer who could spend a little more time, any volunteer that could go spend some time with an animal is probably more likely going to get a better photo. So I think that shelters are definitely starting to learn that it makes a difference. And once they do have some great photos on their website, the numbers show that so many success stories just talking about how someone saw a photo and it was amazing and they just had to run out and adopt that dog immediately. So it definitely makes a difference.
And would you say, Rebecca, you know, if somebody's listening and they're in a really dark time in their life right now, that like one of the quickest things they can do is head down to a shelter and just volunteer, spend some time with these animals?
Oh man, there is so much you can do, and animals just immediately make you feel better. It doesn't matter what kind of mood you're in. Even if you're not good with a camera, I mean, photography is the only one small thing in millions of things that you could possibly do for a shelter. You could go walk dogs. You could go help train them, because better behaved dogs definitely are going to get adopted faster as well. There's just so many things that you can do to help these animals. So yes, I really recommend going and volunteering at your local shelter.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just share like my story of the dog that my fiance and I, her name's Bailey, and we adopted her about a year and a half. It was not last September. Yeah, about a year and a half. And you know, we found her wandering. Jen found her wandering in the streets in a town nearby, and nobody, you know, she went door to door and nobody was able to claim her. Nobody knew where she came from. And so she brought her into the shelter and had to, you know, kind of detach emotionally at the time, because I had mentioned that, you know, I don't think it was the right timing for us.
Yeah.
And it was, if that shelter wasn't there, who knows what would have happened to Bailey, because they were able to hold on to her and take care of her for a week or two when I kind of rethought the decision. I went in to visit her, and I was just, you know, just to see the transformation she had already made from what Jen told me when she was very timid when we first found her. We think she was a puppy mill kind of dog. Mm-hmm. Think, you know, because she was pretty young. We think she had already given birth. And it was just sad, like, you know, very, very timid. If you kind of step near her, she kind of cowers away. So we think maybe she was getting beat. And just to see the way that the, you know, the staff, how they were treating her and taking care of her. And it made the transition for me. Like, I was like, this dog needs to be in my life. And without, you know, without that shelter there, who knows where she would have been today.
Yeah. And that's amazing. I love hearing how people are touched by these animals, because they really do touch you. You know, they don't have a voice, but they definitely can make you feel. So it's powerful.
Yeah. So when you, so if you think of like the word gratitude, what comes to mind for you when you think of the word gratitude, but specifically when we think of animals or maybe an animal in your life?
Do you mean gratitude from my perspective or gratitude from the pet's perspective?
From your perspective, because, you know, we could be grateful for so many things, but for you, it's like just pets and animals are so, they're at the forefront, you know, for you at your in your mind. And I'd love to, for you to just kind of take a moment and think about that and share with the audience so they can, because sometimes people, they need to hear from somebody else, you know, to give themselves that permission to feel those feelings.
Well, I mean, like I said before, I wouldn't know what to do with myself without my animals. Like, they are, when I come home, they're greeting me. They're so excited to see me. And I mean, my dog, even if I'm gone for 20 seconds, like, even after I'm done talking to you and I go upstairs, she's going to be just as excited to see me for the hour, you know, for an hour gone as she would be a whole day gone. So, I mean, they're just so selfless. They are so loving. And I'm really grateful for being able to have that love. Because, you know, I mean, as humans, we have so many other issues that go on in our head that just don't affect animals. Like, I think humans overthink things and animals don't. So,
Do you find, you know, that you're able to be more, a more selfless person just from that lesson that they teach you?
Yeah, you could say that. Definitely. It makes me, knowing that there are animals that need help makes me really motivated to keep helping, you know, no matter what else I have going on. If somebody calls me up and says, you know, we really need photos of this dog because he hasn't been adopted, he's been in the shelter for 10 months, he's a really great dog. Yeah, sure. Next weekend, the next day that I'm available, I'm going to go help. So, yeah, just everything about animals makes me want to help them. I'm very grateful for.
Yeah. And what would you say to someone if they're, you know, they're on the fence right now, like they want to get a pet, but they're heading to the store to buy a pet. You know, what would you say to someone that's thinking about buying a pet?
Well, see, that's a loaded question, because
you want to help that pet too, because they're in that store. But
yeah, you know, at first, when I first got involved in rescue, I was of the mentality, you know, adopt, don't shop. And I still am personally of that mentality. I will never shop for a dog. But the sad fact is that there's always going to be breeders. There's always going to be, I don't know if there's always going to be pet shops. They're kind of going extinct now, thankfully. But I think the most important thing is to get a pet from a responsible person, which is actually something that I've talked about recently, because someone brought to my attention that, you know, the whole war that's going on between rescuers and breeders is kind of like we're fighting a battle that we don't need to be fighting. We kind of need to be helping the animals. And the sad fact is that there are irresponsible people on both sides of that line. There are irresponsible breeders and puppy mills. And there are also rescuers that, you know, I'm sad to say, will just take as many animals as they can and they're not properly caring for them. And then things happen, like diseases spread, and we don't want that to happen either. So my best advice to anyone who wants to get a dog is if you have it in your heart to adopt, please do. But if not, just please make sure that you're getting an animal from someone who's responsible. Ask questions that that will let you know how the animal was raised and treated, and, you know, really dig into that animal's history as far as you can go. And just try to shop responsibly, you know, adopt and shop responsibly.
Oh, man. Awesome. Awesome. So much value. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Guys, we're at the end of today's episode, but Rebecca is coming back on and we're going to be talking about some really cool stuff that she has going on right now. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.